Right, you shall not boil a kid of the goats, in its mother's milk. What does this mean? Well, it's there three times in the Law of Moses. And of course we ask, well, why? Particularly when you notice where it's located. There's a load of commandments, and then the list of commandments finishes with this. It winds up with, and don't boil a kid in its mother's milk. Why this emphasis? I think that that little commandment summed up the spirit of the Law of Moses. The Law of Moses was not some harsh, cruel sort of chain that bound man. The law of God, any divine law, law of Moses, any law of God, is not a leash. It's not a chain, because I guess man is not a dog. And God is not, as it were, tying man up so that we want desperately to go another way, but, well, unfortunately God's law stops me. No, it's not. That's not the idea. The Law of Moses was to inculcate a culture of kindness, a culture of sensitivity to others, of looking outside and beyond of yourself. So I think that one of the reasonings here was, think of the feeling of the mother goat seeing one of its kids boiled in its own milk. It's not nice. It's a horrible thought, actually. And I connect it with commands like, you shouldn't kill a cow and its calf on the same day. You should not take eggs out of a nest whilst the bird is sitting on them. Don't just scare the bird off, whoosh, fly away and grab the eggs. No. Why? Does God take care for the feelings of animals? In a sense, yes, he does. But the point is that he's teaching you sensitivity, a life, a culture of sensitivity to others. There's plenty of commands, of course, that are related likewise to how people should be sensitive to the feelings of others. You know, if you lend a guy something and you've got to go around and pick it up from his place, and he's a poor man, you'd wait outside. You don't go into the poor man's house and see his poverty. Things like that. God is so sensitive to people. So don't think the Law of Moses was some harsh, cruel kind of set of chains and ties that bind, that bound a reluctant man to a post, as it were, to God. That is not at all, the idea of God's law. It is a totally wrong line of interpretation that sees it in that sort of like casuistic sort of way. Well, let's just think what actually happened with this boiling of the kid's goat in its mother's milk. The goats in the Middle East, and particularly in the Sinai area where they originally were traveling when they were given the Law of Moses, those goats are somewhat different to the goats that we have in Europe and that we've exported around the world. Those goats have a very high tendency to produce twins. In fact, if you sort of want to look it up, you look up twinning index and goat. Look it up on Google or whatever. And you will see that there are goats in that part of the world who have this twinning index of almost 2.0. That is that almost for sure every mother goat has twins. And there's a type of goat out there called the chamois goat. And what was done was when the goat or the chamois goat had its twins, and as I say, they nearly all had twins nearly every time when they gave birth, the idea was to take one of the kid goats and kill it. And because the mother goat was lactating enough milk to provide for the twins, for the two goats, there was an abundance of goat's milk. So they took that abundance of milk that was far more than the one surviving kid goat needed, and they then boiled the kid they just killed in that milk, and they thought this was very super tasty. It was also a fertility rite, but I'll come to that. The point is that they thought that was tasty. Yum, yum. This is the pretty well newborn kid goat that we've killed, and we've boiled it in its mother's milk. there's plenty of milk around because the goat is lactating for twins. And yeah, you've just killed one of them. So there's still plenty of milk being produced. Keep taking it out. And then boil this kid in its goat, in its mother's milk. I think the point is that is some sort of narcissism. That is some sort of absolutely super luxury living at the expense of the feeling of an animal. And there, this ancient law suddenly becomes relevant to us, does it not? Because super luxury living. Having a car that costs multiple times more than a car would cost that you quite happily get from A to B in, this is the spirit of our age. This is what you do if you've made it. If you've made it, then you can live the luxury life. And when people do that and stick photos on social media of themselves living the luxury life, people think, oh, well done. Wow, that's cool. Smart. Well done. But in terms of the law of Moses, that's boiling a kid in its mother's milk. Because you are doing that on someone else's back. There's no good saying, oh, no, I'm not. You know, I've worked for it, mate. You know, that's the idea, that you are ignoring the feelings of others. I mean, how is it that people can spend huge amounts of money eating out in absolute luxury, spending fortunes on old bottles of wine, etc., whilst other people are in serious poverty? That's boiling a kid in its mother's milk. That is, I don't care. I'm just going to enjoy myself. This is tasty. This is yummy. Sure, this is the good life. With no thought for the feelings or position of others. This is the point. Be sensitive also to the feelings of others, moving away from the issue of narcissism and in the sense of materialism. This is likewise the attitude that says, I don't care how you feel. There's a terrible quote from John Thomas where he says something about, you know, stand up for the truth, preach the truth, and those who are of the truth will listen to you. For all others, that is those who don't get what you're saying or maybe disagree or whatever, for all others, you need not care a rush. You couldn't care less. You don't need to care less about them. You've preached God's truth. They didn't accept it. You don't have to care about them. Don't care a rush for them. This is a very, very wrong attitude. We should have hearts that bleed for the lost. Hearts that bleed for those who misunderstand. Hearts that bleed for those who don't get it. You know, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who don't quite get it. Not, well, I told you God's truth, so I need not care a rush, and I shall go on with my materialistic life. This is exactly what is hit at by don't boil a kid in its mother's milk. The other point I want to return to that I touched on earlier is that this was a fertility ritual. And when you read it there in Exodus 23, within the same verse, you're told, bring your first fruits to God. Don't forget, offer your first fruits to God. And don't boil a kid in its mother's milk. So I think the two things go together. Well, how do they go together? Bring your first fruits to God, second half of the verse, and don't boil a kid in its mother's milk. Boiling a kid in its mother's milk was a fertility ritual, and it's actually mentioned as that on the Ras Shamra tablets. These were Ugaritic inscriptions that were discovered, which give us quite a bit of insight into what life was like at the time of the Law of Moses and so on. And yeah, this is what they did, thinking this would bring fertility. God says, no, bring your first fruits to me, and you'll be blessed. I will give you fertility. Bring your first fruits to me, and don't boil a kid in its mother's milk. Don't do the pagan fertility ritual. It's nonsense. You give me your first fruits. That's the way to fertility. In those days, fertility was seen as we might see wealth. If your animals produced lots of other animals and they produced lots of milk and good meat, if your fields produced good harvests every year or several times a year, that was wealth. So fertility for them equals wealth for us. Okay. So he's saying, give me your best. Give me your best. When you've got the first fruits of whatever it is, agriculture or whatever, give it to me. Give me the first fruits and I'll see you right. Instead of forgetting about giving me the first fruits and using some pagan fertility rite. Now that again cuts very hard, because there is a strong tendency in our age, of all ages, to think that by my own sort of use of secular wisdom and my own use of human strength, I can multiply my wealth, my fertility, as it were. No. You may think, ah, I'm talking about all this God stuff. I need money. I would like wealth. I would like to have a nicer house and a second house and a nice car and a second nice car and so on and a holiday home. The way to achieve that then is to, smart investment. Use technology in a certain way. Use basically the way of the world to get my fertility, to get my wealth. And God's saying that. Give me the first fruits. Don't mess with all that. Give me the first fruits and I'll see you right. That's the way to go. So you see how there's a bridge between these ancient commandments, don't boil a kid in its mother's milk, all the way over to modern life today. The principles are the same. And yet, of course, that commandment has been totally misused in Judaism. I mean, that's why you can't buy cheeseburgers in Israel. Because you can't have milk products and meat products together because of that verse. So, you know, Orthodox Jewish kitchen, there's two kitchens. There's the milk kitchen and there's the meat kitchen, and nothing can travel between the two of them. Well, now, this is a trouble with misusing God's law. If that's how you use God's law, sure. The law of God is a chain, it's a pain, it's a leash that a reluctant man is sort of chained to. Rather like the dog that I see pretty often chained to a post outside a cafe bar that's just around the corner from us here in Riga. Particularly in the winter, I see that poor dog there straining at its leash in the snow, cold, and he wants to run, he didn't want to be there while his owner is, I guess, having a drink in the bar. And I see that dog and I think, yeah, that leash, that chain, you hate it, don't you? That's not the law of God. The law of God is not a chain. It's not a leash. Man is not a dog. Not at all. Following the spirit of those laws, well, not the letter these days, but following the spirit of them, this is actually a springboard to ultimate freedom.